morning, Cascadia. You're listening to KVOO for 90.7 FM. Today is Friday, October 9th, 2009. And this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Sweden, already loathed by the Republican lunatic fringe, has really gone and stepped in it now. President Barack Obama, as the world knows, has been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize.
And NASA, too, has surprised and annoyed members of the public by firing two enormous rockets at the moon and not even a decent YouTube video to show for it.
Liam, after those two headlines, I think we should go straight into the news.
Okay. Portland area weather today, overcast this morning, clearing to a hazy autumn afternoon with temperatures in the 60s. Tonight, clear with temperatures in the 30s and mostly sunny tomorrow.
And first, we're going to go today to international news and even extraterrestrial news. The world was only slightly less surprised than the president himself to learn that Barack Obama is the 2009 Nobel Peace Prize winner. Obama said that he was honored and humbled and would accept it as a call to action to work with other nations to solve the world's most pressing problems. He also mentioned that he wasn't sure that he'd done enough to earn the award. Whatever else one can say about this stunner, it is going to serve to fan the flames of right-wing fury that are already roaring across the internet.
While most Americans were reeling from this morning's announcement that Barack Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize, NASA smacked two spacecraft into the lunar South Pole. They say they're looking for ice. Instruments confirm that a large empty rocket hull barreled into the moon at 7:31 a.m. It was followed 4 minutes later by a probe with cameras taking pictures of the first crash. People were disappointed not to get the live explosive views it may have anticipated from the mission. Screens got fuzz and no immediate pictures of the crash. The police, the public, which followed the crashes on the internet and observatories, seemed puzzled.
Well, back in 1998, a small group of radio activists started an organization dedicated to building, supporting, and advocating for community radio stations, just like this one. The idea driving the project was to empower participatory community voices and movements for social change. The way the founders accomplished this was by demystifying technology and the political process that governs access to our media system. The Prometheus Project is a powerful force today working towards a democratic media, and my guest this morning is Petri Dish, the Prometheus Project's intrepid helmsperson. Thank you so very much for joining us this morning.
Great to be on KBOO.
Well, you've done the... Tell first off, listeners, a little bit more about the Prometheus Project and what you actually do.
Well, we spend about half of our time working on just building community radio stations with small groups around the country and sometimes outside the United States that we're just putting together the antennas and the mixing boards and all the other parts of the radio station, talking about governance and all the things that it takes to run a station. The other half of our time we spend working against the consolidation of media ownership and trying to create more opportunities for small stations to start. As you might know, a station like KBOO is a real jewel. It's something that's very hard to get. And in a world where radio stations sell for millions and millions of dollars and are traded between big corporations, but there are no more licenses for ordinary people, we've discovered that there are some small areas that you can start radio stations. And so we've done our best to get as many of those out to people as possible. And up until now, they've mostly been in small towns, but what we're shooting for with this legislation is to open up another round of neighborhood radio. Very small licenses that would basically cover a neighborhood in the cities, but that up until now have been forbidden from the major metropolitan areas.
It sounds really exciting. I know that you were here in our area recently and a few years back, and you started a radio station in Woodburn for Pico.
Yeah, with Pinheiros y Campesinos Unidos del Noreste, which is a fantastic labor organization for the farm workers that live in Woodburn. And they're a pretty amazing group that is really sort of building institutions of new political power among the immigrants of Woodburn.
And that's such a, I think that's a great example of what the Prometheus Project actually is all about, that station in particular. Do you want to mention a few projects you're working on right now?
Well, our biggest thing that we really want to do is we want to get this legislation passed, because it's been 10 years since Congress limited the FCC's authority to build more community radio stations, and it's kind of amazing that we managed to convince the FCC 10 years ago, and they've pretty much stayed on our side on this particular issue, that they want to give out more licenses, and so they're ready to do it, and it's just a matter of passing legislation. Yesterday's victory was particularly good because we won a couple of converts over, which was exciting. People that had long opposed community radio changed their mind when faced with the facts. And one was Cliff Stearns, who had sponsored the original legislation against low power radio. He's from Florida. One's John Dingell, who is the person that ordered that low power radio only be allowed in rural areas until more study was done. He voted yes, too. And finally, Oregon's own Greg Walden, who is the only radio station owner. He just sold his stations, actually. But he's the only member of the National Association of Broadcasters that is in Congress. And he changed his mind, too. And he was persuaded by your own Mike Brown, who is a radio engineer that's helped out KBOO quite a bit over the years. And he was also the engineer for this congressman when he owned stations, and his word was taken very seriously by the congressman. The congressman changed his mind and voted against the other radio station owners that he knew. So
that's
very exciting, great example of grassroots lobbying. That just someone that really went and spoke their mind to someone who trusted them really changed. Change something big.
Thank you so much for that. My guest today has been Petri Dish with the Prometheus Project. Just want to, on the final note, there's an African proverb that says, if you don't think one person, one small voice can make a difference, try sleeping in a room with a mosquito.
True enough.
This week in Portland, the rubber hit the roadless areas. Critics of the Obama administration's plan for Columbia Basin salmon and dams filed their arguments in federal court. The state of Oregon, the Nez Perce tribe, and a coalition of environmental and fishing groups are trying to convince U.S. District Court Judge James Redden the plan does not satisfy the Endangered Species Act. The act requires the government to mitigate for the damage done to salmon by the power-producing dams and to ensure their operation does not jeopardize the survival of the fish. The Obama administration's added to the Bush plan, which calls it an insurance plan for fish, is meant to satisfy the judge's concerns, but we'll see.
And yet another giveaway to the insurance companies. Now they're going to have to figure out what their premiums are and deductibles. It's going to be miserable. Hey, lumberjacks, your time has come and gone and come back again. Governor Ted Kulongoski has appointed Alan Ford, President and CEO of Roseburg Forest Products. Anybody who's ever been out in the woods protesting clear cuts knows Roseburg Forest Products. Anyway, Alan Ford is going to serve on, get this, the Oregon Board of Higher Education. Ford leads one of the largest private lumber companies in the whole country. Paul Kelly, President of the Higher Education Board, says, quote, his knowledge of workforce needs, the challenges and strengths of rural Oregon, and the connection between quality higher education and a strong competitive economy will make him a valuable resource to the board, to students across the state, and to meeting the post-secondary needs of Oregonians. Look out. Here he comes.
Disaster capitalism's finest hour. Three Oregon companies and organizations attended a clean energy economy forum at the White House Wednesday with top administration leaders on climate change. The White House officials called for a new energy policy that would encourage renewable energy and fight global warming while making U.S. firms more competitive worldwide. Officials reiterated President Obama's call for comprehensive energy and climate laws They also answered questions and heard from business leaders and nonprofits that have experienced creating jobs while promoting energy independence. Well, it's okay then. They
right,
had a forum.
Here comes Alan Ford. Dead zones off the Oregon coast are here to stay. This is the eighth consecutive year that coastal water has experienced low oxygen conditions or hypoxia. What this means is that late summer, hypoxic conditions that can kill crab and other sea creatures near the ocean floor are here to stay. And when you kill off the bottom of the food chain, there goes the top. Global warming is increasing. Persistent strong winds and ocean surface temperatures are driving the phenomenon.
The people who run Conservapedia, which calls itself the conservative version of Wikipedia, have undertaken the task of stripping the Christian Bible of its liberal bias and rewriting it from a modern conservative perspective. The conservative version of the Bible will omit Jesus' disdain for profiteering and his lesson to turn the other cheek when attacked. The site says, quote, "Socialistic terminology permeates English translations of the Bible without justification."